You can light one match, and that one match is pretty lonely. But when you light a bunch of matches and you bring them together, it causes a great light. And so if you bring the God that's in you, and I bring the God that's in me, which is the same God, and we come together, what did he say in his word? Where two or three are gathered in my name, that there I am. And we know that he's here, but he's here in a powerful way.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of How to Get the Most Out of Coming to the House of the Lord. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of How to Get the Most Out of Coming to the House of the Lord.
My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they who dwell in thy house. They shall still be praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thy anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusteth in thee. We want to speak to you on this subject today, how to get the most out of coming to the house of the Lord. How to get the most out of coming to the house of the Lord. How to get the most out of coming to the house of the Lord in Psalm 84. One of the problems that we have in our society today is that people are not coming to the house of the Lord. We see here from this chart that there has actually been a decline over the years in membership. From 1994 to up until 2004, you can see it drop from over 68% and it dropped below 60%. So people are not frequenting the house of the Lord. But as we look at the psalm today, we see that the psalmist had a desire. And his desire, notice this, it was for the house of the Lord. He said, Lord, how amiable are your tabernacles, Lord, that I love going to your house. Now, it wasn't necessarily the structure that he loved to, the reason that he wanted to go, but it was because of who was there, that the living God was in the house of the Lord. And so there was a desire to go to the house of the Lord to have a interaction with the living Lord. Now, as you look at this, this is very disturbing when you think about the decline in church membership. And I began to think, well, what are some reasons why church membership or church attendance is actually declining? Well, you know, these are reasons that people give why they don't come to church. You know, some people will say, well, you know, I work all week, and Sunday is one of the days that I have off, and I need to rest. You know, I just need to take some time and rejuvenate and be restored. Now, as we go through the message today, you know, I want to show you that why that's the very reason why you need to be in the house of the Lord. That's the very reason why you need to be in the house of the Lord. So we see here, then some people say, well, you know, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to attend church because the church is filled with hypocrites. And you know what I tell people? Why don't you just come on and you add one more to the group? You know, just come on down, and you'll be another one, and you'll cause us to grow. Here goes one right here. You know, people say that church is boring. And again, I think one of the things that we'll see from this psalm today is not necessarily the church, but it's the attitude and the heart of the person that's coming to church. I do agree that, you know, we need to make church spirit-filled. I do agree that we need to make church as lively as we can. But there is a certain element that the reason church is boring to a lot of people is because they don't come with the right heart. They don't come with the right attitude. So that's why church is boring. So it's not necessarily an indictment on the church, even though I think that, you know, the church as a whole, you know, we need to make sure that we are making God exciting and that we are making God inviting. I do believe that, but I believe that a statement, when people make the statement that church is boring, I believe more than an indictment on the church, that's an indictment upon the heart. And so we see here that the next person will say, I don't have time. You know, I did a marriage retreat a couple weeks ago down in West Virginia, and it was at a big resort down there. And, you know, we got up early that morning and had breakfast. And, you know, drove back, and I, you know, got back here around 10:30 for service. But, you know, when you think about that resort, and it was a golf resort. Now, you know, I don't golf, and I have nothing against golf. But, you know, some people, every Sunday, instead of being in the house of the Lord, oh, it's going to get quiet in here. I know. I know. It was amazing because, you know, I'm always in church on Sunday morning, so I don't see stuff like this. But it was just amazing to me to see all the people that were out early Sunday morning getting ready to go golfing. I mean, and they were excited, and they were, you know, I mean, it was just an adventure for them. And you know, again, I think golfing is a good relaxation, and, you know, there's something that, you know, brings out the competitive nature in people. So I'm not knocking. I'm just saying, I think that, you know, when you are doing golf or anything else, and that's crowding your time out from being in the house of the Lord, then I think, you know, you really need to reevaluate that. This is one right here. I don't come to church because all they ever do is ask for money. You know, every time I come to church, that's all they do is ask for money. And, you know, I jokingly say, and you've already heard me say this, so here goes one of those Glaze-isms that when I'm dead and gone, that you'll say, well, I remember Pastor Glaze used to say. And I tell people all the time, well, I might preach on money twice a year, right? So if you come, every time you come to Bethany and you hear us preaching on money, then that's an indictment on you. That means you're only showing up twice a year, all right? And this is a real one, and I think this is why we are losing our younger generation, because church just has no meaning for them. You know, it has no meaning. You know, there's no connection, you know, with the body of Christ. There's no connection. And again, when we get into this psalm, one of the things that's going to come out, that's going to become very clear when we get into Psalm 84, one thing that is going to become very clear is that if you are absent from the house of God, and I'm not saying Bethany, just Bethany, I'm saying any house of God, then that's, again, an indictment on your heart. The psalmist is very clear about that. And so the Psalm 84 is a powerful psalm. And then people just had a wrong attitude. I've heard this, and these are things that I've heard. So I just kind of ran some things off that I heard, that you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, right? I mean, you hear that all the time. And a lot of times, you know, I think that that's just an excuse for people not to go. Now, you know, whatever their reason for not wanting to go, that this is something that they say. So again, here goes one of those Glaze-isms, right? You know, I say that you can go to England and you don't need a boat, or you don't need to go by a plane. There's another way you can get there. You can swim. And there's a whole lot of sharks in the water. And it's a long journey. And it's a lonely journey. But praise God that if you are on a boat or a plane, you got people that are making that journey with you. There's somebody else that's helping to lighten that load. And so that's what the church is all about. You know, the church is all about, you know, we're all going to heaven, And yeah, you don't need to come to church to be a Christian. I'll agree with that. You know, I'm not going to argue with that. You don't need to be in church to be a Christian. But you know, number one, this is what God said you're supposed to do. And number two, it makes the journey, it makes the trip a whole lot sweeter when you can travel with a group of people. You know, it's just like one guy, you know, he got mad. And he said, the first time I came to church, I got baptized and they threw water in my face. He said that the next time I came to church, I got married and they threw rice in my face. He said, I'm not coming to church anymore. And the preacher said, yeah, you're going to come one more time. And next time they're going to throw dirt in your face. So, you know, you have people getting upset. You know, they don't want to come to the house of the Lord. So we see here that one of the things that, and you know, Jesus is our example. And so we need to follow Jesus. And it was the custom of Jesus to be in the house of worship. Now, Jesus was the perfect man. All right, now there's no other person that ever walked the face of this earth like Jesus. He was the perfect man. And if the perfect man found his way to the house of worship, what is that? What should that say to the rest of us? And I think this is Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his habit, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. So Jesus is our example. And Jesus was one that found his way to the house of the Lord. Now, if you put up that next slide, see, we need to understand this about the presence of God. The presence of God. Because in Psalm 84, the psalmist was desiring God. You know, he said, I desire the living God, that I want to have communion with the living God. And we need to understand this about the presence of God, that in the Old Testament, the God's presence was in the edifice, the tabernacle and the temple, that whenever these structures were built, that the scripture says that the glory of the Lord filled the house. The presence of the Lord, the Shekinah glory, filled the house. And so one reason that people had such a strong desire to go to the house of God is because that's where God was. That's where the presence of God was. Now, in the New Testament, we see that God's presence is where? In the people. That when we're not here, you know, God is not standing around up in here, oh, I can't wait till they come back. You know, oh, man, you know, this is Monday, but Sunday's coming. And then Friday, oh, they'll be here in a couple days. No, God is in you. And when you come to the house of the Lord, you should bring God with you. God's people should not come to church looking for God. Oh. Now, unsaved folk need to come looking for God. God's people shouldn't come to church looking for God. They should bring God with them. And when you bring God with them, then hopefully you come here and you make a connection with God. Or somebody will say, well, if I already got God, then why? I just stay at home. I already got him. But you know, it's just like a match. You can light one match, and that one match is pretty lonely. But when you light a bunch of matches and you bring them together, it causes a great light. And so if you bring the God that's in you and I bring the God that's in me, which is the same God, and we come together, what did he say in his word? Where two or three are gathered in my name, that there I am. And we know that he's here, but he's here in a powerful way. And so as we get into this 84th Psalm today, let us keep these things in mind. As we look at the 84th Psalm, we see that it opens up with a superscription. And again, the superscription is that which comes before the psalm itself. If you look at the notes today, you know, we talked about this in the background. In this psalm, the writer is longing for the house of worship. It is written to the chief musician upon Gittith. Now, if you'll see there, it says right there in your Bibles, to the chief musician upon Gittith. Well, what does Gittith mean? Well, this is a disputed term. Some people say it could mean a wine song, a psalm that they sang, at a party, at a festivity, or somebody said that it's an instrument from Gath, that Gittith actually was a reference to the city of Gath, where Goliath was from, Goliath of Gath. And so some people say, well, it might be talking about an instrument from Gath. So it was played upon that instrument. This is also a psalm for the sons of Korah, if you'll notice there, a psalm for the sons of Korah, which means they either composed it or they performed it, one or the other. Now, you remember the sons of Korah could trace their lineage back to Levi, who was one of the sons of Israel. And when we look at their service in the tabernacle, that the Levites were responsible for taking care of the service in the tabernacle. So it says that as the years transpire, that out of the tribe of Levi came the sons of Korah, and they actually became the musicians, or they became the minister of music during the time of David. So we see that this is the background to this particular psalm, and it's one where the psalmist is longing for the house of the Lord. So let's look at verse 1. In verse 1, actually the first four verses, we see a vision for the house of the Lord. A vision for the house of the Lord. Notice, first of all, the sensation of this vision. Look what he says. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. The psalmist loved the house of the Lord. He loved going to the house of the Lord. And so even at this time, when he wasn't at the house of the Lord, he still had the house of the Lord in his heart. He said, how amiable. That word amiable means beloved. Oh, Lord, how much I love thy tabernacle. And so for the psalmist, it was just an overwhelming sensation that he loved God so much that this love was also transported to the love for the house of the Lord. Do you love God that much? You know, I love worshiping in this room where we're at right now. But just think, next year, this time, Lord willing, we're going to be in a brand new sanctuary. We're going to be in a brand new facility. And so even though I love coming in here, and I love this place of worship, when we were across the street at that building, I loved coming to that place. I love that place of worship. And I can't wait till, like I said, next year when we have that new sanctuary and we can come into the house of worship. You know, a lot of people don't want to get married here at Bethany. Now, and I'll tell you, one of the reasons why, because it's a multi-purpose room. They want to get married in the sanctuary, right? And so next year we're going to have that sanctuary. We're going to have that place where God is going to use that for his honor and glory. Just like he used this place for his honor and glory. That it doesn't matter the building that you come to. As long as you have the living God in your heart and you want to have an interaction with the living God. And so we can find God and we can have the sensation right here in this room. You know, it's not going to be, if we need a new building to get the sensation, then we got the wrong idea. If we need to have joy to come to the house of the Lord because we need a new building, then we're missing it. You need to have the joy right where you're at. And then we'll just, watch this. Then we'll just transport that joy over into the new building. Amen. Amen. How amiable are thy tabernacles. So there was the sensation. And then next we see the scrutinization of the vision. Look what he said. He said, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh, they cry out for the living God. So he wants to be where? In the courts of God. Because he knows that by being in the courts of God, he'll be in the presence of God. And because of this, his heart and his flesh, they cried out. Look at the notes as we read. When the psalmist thought about being in the place of worship, an overwhelming sensation came over him. The scrutinization, we already covered that. Next one. As we examine this vision, we see that I led to a longing of the worshiper to be in the place of worship and to be in the presence of the one who dwelt there, the living God. His heart and flesh cried out for this experience. Now, notice this. He said he longed. And I went and looked up these Hebrew words, to long and to faint. And the Hebrew word for long means to long after something to a point where your skin becomes almost colorless. It was like he was sick with a desire to go to the house of the Lord. And see what the psalmist is doing here. The psalmist is raising the bar, because that's not where most of us are at. Yo, so some of us just get here by the skin of our teeth. Some of us just get here and sit in the chair and say, thank you, Lord, for letting me get here. Right? But David, or whoever the psalmist is, it's debated whether David wrote this or somebody else. But he's raising the bar. Saints, he's raising the bar. He's saying that I long. You know, I long so much that it seems like, you know, my skin, I'm just turning pale. I'm longing. And the word faint, you know, that Hebrew word means to long to the point of almost being destroyed. I mean, I just feel like I'm just going to give up. You know, I just want to be there. I just desire so much to be in the house of God that I long and I almost faint, you know, just like, ooh. Now, let me ask a question. How many of us felt that way today coming here? I didn't think so. I didn't think so. But come on. Again, the thing I like about the Word of God is that the Word of God sets the bar. And so if we don't get anything else out of this fainting and longing, that there ought to at least come the idea that there ought to be some forethought about coming to the house of God. There ought to be some, man, you know, I'm going to worship the Lord this morning. I'm bringing God with me, but when I get there, I'm going to have a connection with the living God. You see why I'm saying that this is an indictment upon the heart? You know, that a person that does not want to come to the place of worship, that does not want to come to the house of worship, it's an indictment upon the heart. Because the psalmist is showing us that there has to be this desire to want to be here. That you have, you know, just think about what you went through to get here. So, I mean, that you might not have had the desire that the psalmist had, but you had some desire. You got up at a certain time. You got cleaned up. At least, I think you did. You made sure that gas was in your car, or you had a ride. You drove here. That took some effort. That took some in. So that shows that on your part, there was some desire to be here.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of how to get the most out of coming to the house of the Lord. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, how to get the most out of coming to the house of the Lord, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request how to get the most out of coming to the house of the Lord. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request how to get the most out of coming to the house of the Lord. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.